Welcome to the Whiskey and Fire Podcast. I'm Slade. That's Derek. That's all you need to know. Today we got a cool little something to talk about. We got a chance to go to a whiskey festival, which was a blast. I don't want to get into that a lot, but had a lot of good time with that. Derek, how you been?
I've been doing good, man. Especially this week. It's a short week. We'll have Friday off, and I'll be headed to the farmhouse, which has been a while. I mean, I try to go about once a month, but it's been longer, and so I kind of get antsy to do that. But, you know, something I find in some of the businesses we do business with, they're not off on Friday. So I don't know if it's getting more rare for people to be off on Friday for Good Friday or not. Are you guys closed?
Oh, yeah. And our company will turn everybody loose Thursday at like noon. Like every time there's a holiday on the weekend, we get a little extra. So,
oh, that's nice.
No, we're an American company. We'll be off for Good Friday. Yeah, I feel like it's the other ones that, because I did work at a Brazilian company before, and they were like, why do you need off? And we're like, well, it's Good Friday. I mean, nobody works on Good Friday, but they seemed astonished by it.
Well, I had one company I worked for, and they had this floating holiday. I don't know if they still do, but at the time they had this, you got to choose. So they had all these major holidays, and then they used to have Good Friday, but then people were asking for this and that, and President's Day and everything else. So they were like, all right, you guys can choose that. You get one floating. So if you want to work Good Friday, you can, but then you can have Martin Luther King Day off or whatever. You get to choose, you know. So I always took Good Friday. But if I didn't have it off, I would take it off. I mean, I would take a vacation day.
Well, see, we're, like I said, again, we're an American company, so we get Good Friday and a floating holiday. We can use whenever we want. So,
So my company's not American, right?
I don't know.
Because I don't get that extra half day.
Just America, man. America.
It does sound kind of nice. I'll take it.
But I will say it does feel, I got unlucky. I like when a short week to not be busy, and I'm very busy this week. So that didn't work out perfectly. I'm trying to squeeze a lot into a short week. I never like it when that happens.
I think that's usually what happens. If you have a day off or if you know you're going to take some vacation time, try to get all this stuff done beforehand, and it feels like you worked an entire week in the amount of time, in less time than you normally have.
That is typically how it feels. Well, before we dig into what all we did and what our little, what are we going to call it, an adventure? A get out and do something was? What are we going to drink today?
So we've got I don't know if it's fourth, fifth, sixth partner now that has sent us some samples to try on the show. We're certainly grateful. But this one's the first one outside of Texas and really the only one. So I don't know if we'll have more.
Our border security let us get a whiskey from another state in here.
Pretty cool. But it's one, it's called Bluegrass Distillers, and it's actually one that I knew of because, you know, having visiting, you know, family out there or whatever, we went and checked it out, and it was a really cool experience. I didn't tell them I had been there and that I was a customer and that I really liked it, but I told them, you know, we had a podcast, we wanted to sample it on the show, and they were gracious enough to send this without even knowing that. Since then, I've talked to them about it, but I've not tasted these two particular bourbons that they gave us to try, but I have tried some of their stuff and it was really good. Well, so which one do you want to try first? We've got two.
Well, I noticed we have the bottled and bond is 100 proof and then 120 proof. So maybe we get broken with 100 proof.
We'll just ease into this.
Ease into the 120.
All right. I'm going to read a little bit about kind of the aromas and what to expect and all that kind of stuff. If you'll show the bottle. Ooh. So this one says, it doesn't give us anything for aroma. This is pretty good. Oh, yeah, that was good. It says buttery, nutmeg, cinnamon, spice, herbal tea, caramel, black pepper, and anise for the taste. And then for the finish, I don't know what that means. Do you know what finish means?
I've always taken that to mean what you get afterwards. Because, I mean, when you take a whiskey, you get the initial, here's what I tasted. And then at the end, here's what it kind of left behind. It's kind of how I've always left that.
Okay, so then that is cinnamon, nutmeg, herbal mint, and black pepper. So a lot of the same stuff as the taste.
So this is very dynamic.
It's dynamic. But so this one's it's a bottled in bond bourbon. And I don't know what that specifically means. And Slade, you may know. If you do, let me know. But generally, it means that there was, back in like the 1800s, but even before you and I were around, it was like some specific set of requirements that distilleries had to use. It's not really used a whole lot today, But it seems like we see it a lot. I mean, from time to time, you'll see a distillery and they'll have like a specific bottle that's bottled in bond. And that's really what it means. Just more requirements that they had to adhere to.
But is it something to do with the government, though?
Yeah, I think it was something that the government instituted back in the 1800s, late 1800s. I think back then people were basically making poison and it was almost killing people, if not killing them, you know? So then they tried to create some requirements for people to adhere to.
Well, my quick Google search with, obviously, I'm going to go to the best website first and get the best answer, is must be aged for a minimum of 4 years, must be bottled at precisely 100 proof, and must be made by a single distiller.
And this is precisely 100 proof. It says aged at least 4 years. So I'm guessing they hit all those marks.
Is there like a board it has to go in front of to get that proven, or can you just write that on the label? Or is there like a guy who goes around and checks the stuff?
I don't know. Maybe I'll find out.
Cool government job.
Yeah. Well, you know, we may find out enough about whiskey where we just start our own distillery, because I'm kind of learning a lot.
Once we get past, I like it.
Yeah. I don't think it'd be good for my health, though, to have a distillery. And I don't know how much you pour, but I feel like I poured a ton because we have more.
Well, there's a big piece of ice in there, so.
Yeah, yours is a little misleading.
Let's see.
Pretty good.
I got more on the finish, actually.
Yeah, I kind of did too. But you know, up front it said buttery. I think that's kind of right. It's pretty smooth. It's got an interesting mouthfeel.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. There's some buttery coming in there.
I'm not really picking up cinnamon or anise or some of those spices.
I kind of did afterwards.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Well, you have like this distinguished palate compared to me, so that makes sense.
That is not at all true. Not at all true. So what are we expecting out of the old 120 proof?
Oh, you already drank all yours?
Yeah, I didn't have that much in there.
Yeah. Gosh, I poured way too much. It's good, though. It's easy to drink.
Definitely.
Do you think, are you picking up any differences between this and Texas whiskey so far? Because, you know, Kentucky's known for bourbon. I mean, that's where it originated. It's where most of it's made.
I would say smoother. Definitely smoother.
Yeah, I think so too.
You about to finish that off so we can go on here?
I'm done. I got it. Man, I already opened mine. You do the bottle pop there. 120 proof. I'm expecting this thing to bite pretty hard. Oh, that was good.
You would think so.
All right. Let me get to reading a little bit about what this is supposed to taste like. We'll see if we agree. All right. So I don't know. Did you read what this one was? Toasted oak single barrel?
I don't guess I read it. Yeah, it's a toasted oak single barrel, 120 proof, secondary aged in new toasted barrels, non-chill filtered.
Yeah. So this one gives us aroma, taste, and finish. So I'll kind of give you all those. It's not much. Aroma is toast, vanilla, and some baking spice. We'll see about that.
I do taste toast. That's funny that you say that. I know, right?
I was thinking that too. There's something toasty in there. And then there's a little vanilla.
And reading on here, it's kind of weird that you do, because it said it only stays in the toasted barrels for 30 days.
Yeah,
so
that's
four
right.
4 years in new charred oak, 30 days in toasted.
It smells really good. So then the taste is supposed to be sweet upon entry with layers of cinnamon. I wasn't going to laugh until you did.
I'll laugh every time.
with layers of cinnamon, maple, and nutmeg. So similar, I think, to the one we just tasted, except for the maple. And then the finish is, you got to focus, man. The finish.
The sweet on entry is going to stick with me.
Yeah, it's upon entry, if you want to be able to quote it. So the finish is marshmallow, so that's going to be interesting. Oak, vanilla, and toffee. And we've tried a couple that say that. I don't know that we've really tasted the toffee, so we'll see if we do this time.
Let's see. Mm-hmm.
Man, that's really good. That one I can taste some of the spices.
I'm not a huge toffee person. I definitely picked up on the toffee.
Yeah, I did too. It's not as toasty as I thought it would be.
I want to say bad. I'm just not a toffee guy.
Yeah. I like it. I think I prefer this one over the bottled in bonds.
Definitely not a bad 120 proof, though, I'll say that.
Yeah, that's the other thing. This one will be very dangerous for me to have around the house because it is good and it's super strong.
Will it be as dangerous as trying not to make an improper joke about sweet on entry on a kid-friendly podcast?
I actually didn't make the joke. I was just reading. I mean, it's just the audience couldn't handle it is what happened.
This is exactly what happened. Cool. Well, thanks Bluegrass for both of those. They were both really good.
Yes, thank you. Awesome.
Will not go to waste. They will be thrown away when the bottle is empty.
That's right. Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention. One unique thing about the distillery while we were there is we bottled our own. So you go back there. Of course, normally you just see the distilling equipment and they talk about everything. It's cool. And then you might buy something. This one, you actually got to bottle your own. And so you go out there and there's a barrel and you fill it up and cork it. And then they give you a label and you write all the, you know, batch number and all this stuff and date it and sign it. So it was a lot of fun. Something sort of interactive that you don't usually get to see at one of these places.
So really cool place. Do you have that still or is it gone?
It's been long gone. I drank that a long time ago.
Can't blame you.
They use the one I tried, and the reason I know it wasn't these is it was one of the unique things they do is they'll use blue corn. And I know some people do, but they have a specific whiskey that they use a lot of blue corn almost exclusively. And so it was just unique, and I'd never tried it. So that was what I got. And it was really good, and it didn't last long. And I didn't get a big bottle. It wasn't even a handle. I mean, it was real small, so it didn't last long at all.
And I will say this bottle, like I almost want to measure because it does not look like 750 to me. It looks like more, but
it does.
I'm assuming they couldn't lie.
It's tall. It's really tall, but
it's really tall.
Yeah, really good stuff. So we tried a lot of cool things at this festival that we went to.
We did. We went to the Texas Forever Fest, which was held in Plano. Basically, just a kind of what I got from reading about it, just a celebration of Texas, entertainment activities, music. There were some Texas artists there playing. Really, no one that jumped out to me a lot. I mean, Wade Bowen was there, but I think we left before he came on because we're bad at scheduling.
This is true.
And then we heard some other ones play, and they were good. There was some good music played there and games and, of course, things to make women want to buy stuff that's unnecessary. But it was a good time. Food trucks had some pretty good food out there, definitely. Left there feeling a little miserable, not just for the food, but the food didn't help. So within the Forever Fest, the Texas Whiskey Festival had a Spirit of Texas tasting. To go a little further, the Forever Fest is a free event. If it comes through, if you get a chance, check it out. But the Whiskey Festival event was like $30 a person for like a two-hour taste testing. I'm assuming each time the whiskeys they have change. So what we had this time wouldn't be what somebody else would have. But I dug into them a little bit, and that's what they do is go around and have whiskey tastings and events for whiskey enthusiasts, both new and old. They talk about if you're new to it, if you're an avid person, if you're somewhere in the middle like we are, it's fun. It is. It's fun for everybody. Our wives even went with us, and they're definitely not neat whiskey drinkers. So it was fun. It was fun to watch them try for a while. You know, they tried that for a little bit.
Yeah. And they had stuff for them. I mean, you and I really wanted to try the whiskey and try to pick up on what we liked, what we didn't like, and talk to them about our podcast, all that kind of fun stuff. But the girls actually kind of enjoyed it too, because they had different cocktails and they were pouring them for the tables for people. Did. So yeah, I think they enjoyed it.
And I tried a couple of them. They had some good cocktails too. There was a couple that had things that weren't just whiskey, and they made some good cocktails out of those too. So
yeah,
it was neat to get to discuss it with some of them. I mean, like you said, we kind of use it as an opportunity for us to kind of promote our podcast a little bit, but also to get to meet some of these people and learn about their whiskeys and where it's from and how long they've been doing it. And they got really good information at all the booths. So it was fun. What surprised me, you would think at a whiskey tasting, when people know you're going to come through and drink, what would you say? There was maybe 10 booths there, and they all had at least three or five whiskeys with them. And So yeah. If you're trying to multiples at each, and they were all giving around like an ounce, in my opinion, there were some that were filling them up good.
Yeah, they were. And we literally had to, I mean, this is like terrible to say, but we had to dump some of them after we tried it because we got a bunch and we're like, we look behind us and there's 15 other tents that we're going to go to. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's not just one bottle. They'll pour as many as you want to try. And of course you get to the booth and you're like, I want to try all of them. So we got to a point where we were just like dumping stuff out, but that's definitely a good problem to have. So I'm not really a festival kind of guy. I usually avoid it as best I can, but you know, as a part of this festival, they had the whiskey tasting. So I was like, okay, I'm in, you know, and the festival was cool. It was better than I expected it. It was like you said, it was free to get in. So it was cool and everything. But after the whiskey tasting, I was really enjoying the festival because we had a lot of whiskey.
Oh, I mean, yeah, we had probably both had, 10 shots of whiskey probably before it was over with, if you add it all up.
Yep, we did. So it was good. Had a good time.
And I did have to actually keep Derek from wasting his money because he saw something at one booth that, I mean, I literally had to pull him away from buying. I mean, I was like, nah, dude, we're not here to spend money. Let's just get out of here. They had a booth. You could adopt a dragon. And this guy lit up like it was Christmas. I mean, he was excited about it. He didn't.
I still don't even know what it is. But the craziest thing is there were people in there. And not just kids, like adults were in there trying to adopt a toy dragon. I never seen anything like it. I still don't understand what it means.
I know. I looked at booth has there that you can adopt a dragon in there, and he was like, "There's people in there." He's like, "And they're adults." I was just as amazed by it as he was. It was. I don't really know the point of it. I'm sure there's somebody watching who's like, "Adopt dragons, don't make fun of me," but I don't understand it. I don't. A little, I guess, metal figurine of a dragon. I don't know what you do with them. I don't know what the purpose is. So,
to each their own. But I've never seen it. I didn't know it existed, and then I didn't understand how popular it was. Obviously, because there were a lot of people in there. There were other booths that had like, like bourbon candy and stuff. And there was nobody in there. But the Adopt-A-Dragon was packed. I still don't understand how this is possible.
I think every time we walked by that booth, it was packed. They probably sold out.
Yeah, they probably did. And I don't even know what the pricing was, but I assume that's one of those things that isn't cheap just because people are hyped about it. So there were people spending money on adopting toy dragons.
How much money would you be willing to throw out to adopt a dragon? What would be your price point?
I don't have one. I wouldn't give anything for that. Unless I'm buying it for like my kid or something and they really like it. But no, I wouldn't spend any money on it. Would you?
I feel like I would have a talk with my kid first about the point of adopting a dragon. There's no point in it.
Yeah. Just make sure that we're all on the same page. I'm going to spend this money, but you're adopting a dragon here.
I liked my idea. I said we should go in there. We should chart our own booth and then just tell people not to do it because it's a bad idea. So when they come in, they're like, I want one. Go, no, you really don't. It's a terrible idea. You don't want to do this.
Well, I think we should have Adopt Whiskey. It would make it sound better if you came home with another bottle of whiskey and you got to tell your wife you adopted this whiskey. You didn't just buy it. So maybe we'll do something like that.
It's about to be thrown out. Yeah. You were willing to absorb the cost it was going to take to take it to your home and let it be part of your family.
Yeah. It didn't have a home. It didn't have a family. So
and just for clarity, we're in no way making fun of adopting things and bringing them to your home. I don't want to make that sound any bad, but
I mean, I think it's
these dragons weren't real, so they had no spirit or anything like that.
Yeah, that's right.
So, well, it was a good time.
If
you get a chance to go to the Forever Fest, check it out. If you ever see the Texas Whiskey Festival setting up somewhere, having an event, go check it out. It was a good time. I don't know if we were the pros that were in there. There were some people who I think kind of knew more about whiskey than we did, obviously. But either way, it was a good time. Like I said, our wives don't know anything, and they were enjoying themselves. So it was a good time to be had. It was nice to get out. It was a pretty day. Good time to be outside doing something.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was kind of my break for all the junk that's been going on. I feel like I've been busy as could be, and it was nice to be outside doing something.
Yeah. And eating brisket on top of mac and cheese.
We did do that, and that was good.
Yeah, it was.
I had a question for you, Derek.
Yeah, what's up?
Other than to get gas, which everyone does it, do you go to a lot of gas stations, truck stops, stuff like that?
You know, the only one that I'll really stop at without getting gas is Buc-ee's. And do you guys have Buc-ee's out in East Texas? You kind of do, right? I think.
I mean, I feel like your Buc-ee's is kind of our Buc-ee's because, I mean, it's the only one I got.
Oh, the one we have here?
Yeah. There's not one over anywhere near us. Just in Terrell.
Yeah, but other.
I mean, do you when you walk in that place, do you feel like you're in a? Are you like I'm in a gas station right now, or are you in a mini mall?
I feel like I'm at the threshold of hell a little bit, but I'll do it because my family wants, you know, whatever kind of special stuff they have there. But it's always super packed. It's crazy, and you can't get through. The only real good reason for me to want to go there is for the bathrooms are clean and there's a ton of them, right? But other than I'm okay with that, without
I've told my wife before, I probably would almost prefer that bathroom over the one at my house. That's a.
I think, yeah. I mean.
And I feel like 85% of why I pick a gas station these days as I've gotten older is how the bathroom is.
Yeah. Well, I made the mistake of stopping somewhere between here and Mississippi one time with my son. He had to go to the bathroom. We went to like a Circle K or something. I don't know. It was run down and it was just a normal gas station. It wasn't like a Buc-ee's. And, you know, we go in there and we go to the bathroom. There's a mess. There's trash everywhere. It's real junky. It didn't feel safe. And then, of course, there's a machine on the wall in there. And my son at the time was like, I don't know, 9 or 10 years old. He's like, what is this? You know, what are they selling here? And I don't want to have to explain that stuff to my child when he's, you know, that young. So I try to avoid gas, you know, just normal gas station as much as I can, at least the inside of them.
I think they were a big part of my growing up life. Like, I'm going to get sentimental here, but like if me and my dad went somewhere, we were stopping at a gas station. Mm. We were going to, and I was getting candy and a soda every single time. It was a no-brainer. So to me, a gas station has a sentimental value. And I think I still look for it. In my line of work, especially when I first started out in it, I was always on the road going places. So I went to different ones just to see the different gas stations, to get something to drink, to stop. You know, it was a break from driving, whatever. But now, man, they have gotten – you still have, like you're talking about, your small rundown little ones you don't even really want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like they're competing to be how nice and how extravagant can they be. It's insane.
Yeah, you're right. There's competitors to Buc-ee's. They kind of started that trend. You know what? As you say that, that was kind of a thing when I was a kid growing up too. I think part of it now is my wife, she doesn't want anything to do with going inside of a gas station unless it's Buc-ee's. And she won't, like, she doesn't want coffee from there. She says it's terrible. You know, it's just regular coffee. It's not flavored and all that. So she wants nothing to do with it. Are you the type though where you'll stop if you're going out of town on a vacation or something? Are you going to stop at a gas station and get coffee, get a breakfast burrito, that kind of stuff?
Or do the best get food in the elsewhere? World comes from a gas station. No, the best food comes from a gas station. I mean, yes, you're gambling a little bit in taking that food and eating it and then driving for a long time, but that's the fun part.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're eating that a lot, you kind of built up an immunity. So people need to be careful with that kind of advice. If they don't normally go get a bean burrito, a beef and bean burrito from a gas station, they need to be careful.
Crispito is what you get.
I don't know what that means. Crispito?
I don't know how to explain it. Crispito. I don't know how to explain it. Crunchy. It's a sort burrito of a burrito looking thing with like chickenish meat in it or something.
Yeah, you're talking me out of it.
So you're not a gas station food person.
I'm not saying that. I'll eat chips and stuff like that, but I don't want a Crispito. If I don't know what I'm eating.
It's not gas station food.
You don't even know if it's chicken. Like, I'm just out. It's not worth the risk.
I mean, do you eat fast food?
Yeah. I try to limit it, but I do.
Do you know it's chicken? Do you know it's chicken?
I don't go to McDonald's. I think everyone else has real chicken. So, yeah, I feel like I do.
Could be. You don't think chicken nuggets are real? That's not real chicken, you don't think?
No, you know, there was I think it is now, but years ago, there was some documentary that came out on how they made them. Or something on YouTube, I don't know. I remember a coworker talking about it. But apparently they take a whole bird and basically turn it into sort of, we'll say, a paste that they use to make the nuggets.
Paste.
Yeah. So you see that or hear that, I'm like, I'm not going to eat their chicken nuggets anymore.
What made them decide to make it look like a mini Christmas stocking? What part of a chicken has that little boot foot sticking out that they were like, people will believe it's chicken if we make it shaped like a Christmas stocking?
It actually does. I never realized that, but I don't know.
It does. I mean, they all look like
it's almost got like a little handle.
A lot of times there's the stockings and then just like rectangles. They're back and forth, but there's. Could be it. I don't know what you're. I mean, I don't know what the handle's for, since you're going to hold the whole thing. But it could be. It could be.
I don't know.
But no, I guess in the travels, I started thinking. I was like, you know, I wonder if Derek's a gas station, because I take you as not a gas station person. The way you described your wife is the way I assumed you were. You kind of backed it up by saying only bags of chips, because that's not gas station food. You can get it at the grocery store.
Yeah, I'm not. But I'm not going to go in there for a meal. Like, I don't ever need a meal, and I'm like, I'm going to go to a gas station. Which only exists really.
It's not a
so that I can get meal. Gas.
But I don't consider it a meal. Like, I'm not going to say we're going to have lunch at a gas station. I'm going to say, hey, we're going to be driving for the next 2 hours. I'm going to eat a burrito while we do.
Tell me how a Crispito isn't a meal. I mean, if it's a crispy burrito with chicken in it, that's not a snack.
Next time, I'm getting you a Crispito. We're going to find and if people listen to know the fancy mm-hmm. gas stations don't have Crispitos. You're not going to go to a Quick Trip and get a Crispito. You're going to go to a Valero, maybe a small Valero, and you're going to get a Crispito. And we're going to do it.
Yeah, well, I want to hear from somebody else, any listener that has heard of a Crispito, because I think you might be making that up.
Well, I know my wife's listening, and I know she grew up eating them too.
For
I know there's one person I know. And yeah, oh yeah, knows exactly what a Crispito is. If I were to offer right now to go get us both a Crispito, she would be as happy as could be. As
oh my goodness. Is it come in a pre-sealed bag?
No, they make them there. Well, okay. You know, hold on, let me backtrack. I don't know if they make them. They heat them up there.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't feel like Wanda makes them. I feel like just they heat them up and put them in a little nacho tray and you take it with you.
Yeah, I think those kind of things will take years off of your life, Slade. You should probably quit those.
Well, if you haven't ate any and I have, and we're the same age, you're going to be doing this podcast alone pretty soon, because I've had my share of gas station food.
You've eaten enough of them, huh?
No, I've never done gas station sushi, and I've always heard about that. I've never seen it anywhere, though.
So you do draw a line somewhere.
Now, what I said was I've never seen a gas station that had it. So I also have to say I haven't had the opportunity to have gas station sushi.
I don't know. I've never seen it either, but I don't go looking, so I don't really know.
I'll do like Kroger sushi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think they actually have pretty decent sushi.
And the Brookshires around here do now, and it's pretty good sushi.
Yeah.
It's definitely better than having to go put up with the Japanese restaurant to have sushi, so there's a convenience factor. Though I have learned, and my son tried it too, that grocery store sushi is good right then. Don't bring it home and put it in the fridge and pull it out later, because it's not good anymore.
Like later as in hours or days? Either one?
Hours. Okay. Just like I only get it if I walk up and he's in the middle of making it. If a little Asian guy's making it, I'll get it. But if I walk up and he hasn't been there in a few hours, it gets real gummy and it's not good.
Oh, well, I don't really eat sushi.
But now, are you even a sushi eater? Do you even eat sushi?
No, I'm not a sushi eater at all.
Well, this was a wasted conversation.
Well, but I mean, it's not that
this was a waste of time.
It's not that I don't necessarily like it. It's that it doesn't taste like anything to me. So I'm just like eating stuff, and I don't need to do that. I mean, I can find stuff that tastes good.
Have you tried raw or no? Not raw.
I've tried both. I don't like either one. But if I'm going to choose one, it would probably be cooked.
Surprised by that, because to me raw has a very like steaky meaty taste to me. I was surprised, but I expected it to taste like an old dirty fish, and it actually has more of a steaky meat flavor. So I figured, you know what, Derek will like that.
I don't know.
I found out now I was wrong. Well, that was a important topic to dive into. So I'm glad we went from gas stations to we were gas station sushi, so we were still along the same trail.
We were on topic, yeah, for sure.
We were on topic, but anyway. Well, like I said, thanks again to the Bluegrass Distillers out of Kentucky. Really good whiskey. First venture outside the border was a success. kudos to the Whiskey Festival and the Texas Forever Fest. It was a good time. Like I said before, anyone, if you get a chance, go check it out. You will enjoy yourself. Derek, anything you want to throw out there before we hop off here?
Yeah, I just want to specifically thank Maggie from the Bluegrass Distillers. Thank you so much for working with us. We really enjoyed it. And hopefully we'll get some more at some point soon, because I'm gonna drink this stuff pretty quick.
I'm going to drink responsibly, everybody. I don't know about Derek, but real responsible. Well, thanks for everybody for listening. As we always say, whiskey-fire.com. Get on there and reach out to us. I think all of our social links and emails are on there, so reach out to us. Let us know what you think. And until we speak again, God bless, and see you next time.
See ya.